to become Jesus Christ, to be Jesus Christ, that's the Christian life. It's what the whole Christian life is about, is to become and to be Jesus Christ. Before you all get your pens ready to write to the bishop, I'm leading you all into heresy. It's the truth of what the Christian faith is. It is to be Jesus Christ. The term for it is theosis. It's divinization. That our God, he became a man so that we might become God. That just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are distinct persons, but yet they are one. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you're distinct, but yet you are one. St. Paul, he comes back to this again and again in this reading today from Colossians. It's through him, it's through Jesus Christ, it's in him that we are a part of his body, the church. He is the head, but we are a part of his body. It's not like we're like his body, or we do what the body of Christ did when he was here. No. You are a part. You are the body of Christ. Their identification with him is so intimate. It's as Paul says that it's no longer I who live, but it's he who is living in me. Moses is giving his farewell address, and he's speaking of the commands of the Lord, the word of God. And he's trying to emphasize to them how near it is to you, how near the word of God is to you. It's in your lips, it's in your heart. But he's speaking about the word of God. This is the word through which God created everything. God spoke and it came into being. He spoke you into being. You were created and everything was through the word of God. And that word has become one of us. It's taken flesh. And that word is even closer to us now. That is something that we have become united with. And it is alive within us. It is our very life. In the truth, even, that Jesus is closer to me, that God is closer to me than I am to myself, that he knows me more, significantly more than I know myself. But this truth, that what the Christian life is to become, through the sacrament of baptism and faith, Jesus Christ, and to be Jesus Christ. This is the key to understanding nearly every parable that Jesus speaks of. Because if I reduce the parables like the one today down to just a little morality lesson, here's about how we have to treat our neighbors, and yes, that's true. But if it's reduced down to that, the problem is, it's not that that's not true, it's that it's missing so much. That there's so much more that's there. And I actually miss the whole point of even the morality lesson within that. That other religions, you know, they have sacred writings, or they're based on a moral code or a teaching, the teaching of some wise person, a philosophy, or whatever it is, it's only Christianity that it's not a moral code, it's not a philosophy. Christianity is Jesus Christ. That is what Christianity is. And because you being a Christian means you are united to Jesus and everything that follows from that. But Christianity is Jesus Christ. The one who said, I am. The the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth. Jesus Christ is justice. Jesus Christ is mercy. We're united to him. We become him, a part of him in the church. It's why in the Gospels he goes around and he's like, the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is now. It's like, what are you talking about? He's speaking about himself. He is the kingdom of heaven. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is heaven. That what heaven is we are brought into that divine life, which is the Trinity, that eternal love, that fire of eternal creative love, that through Jesus Christ, the image of God, we are created and given the image of God and becoming united and one with Jesus Christ, we enter into the life of God. Jesus is heaven. Christianity is Jesus. Our faith, what it's all about, is becoming and being Jesus Christ. Okay, we got that down? So, you turn to like the parable today. And just focusing even just on this one line mainly. A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. Who is the man who is being spoken about here? Above all else, it's Jesus. It's kind of the answer to every question today. It's Jesus who is, first of all, being spoken about. The man who united himself to us, that he came down from the heavenly Jerusalem into Jericho, into sin, into the city of man, and he willingly fell victim to the robbers as he went down. They stripped him, they beat him, and they went off, leaving him half dead, as many passed by him. That this is Jesus, who himself was anointed with oil, and with the wine, his precious blood that poured out. And that this, first of all, being Jesus, is understanding that when I understand, secondly, that that man is me, and this abusive relationship that I have with sin, this is describing the fall into sin, that a man, me, fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and I was stripped, I was beaten, and I was left alone, half dead. That I've got this abusive relationship with sin. And it's an abusive relationship. She hits me, but that's the way she shows me she loves me. Every punch is like a little kiss to the face. It's messed, but it's an abusive relationship I can't get out of. It's like, why don't you just leave it? Because there's some weird thing that's there. It's this fall within us. But it's not the Levites or the priests, the old law or the old sacrifices that are going to save me. Instead, it's the new law and it's the new sacrifice, because it's Jesus who saves me, he heals me, and at great cost to himself. There is justice in this. It costs something. And he brings me into the end. He brings me into his church. And I receive in my baptism anointing. And I receive in the Eucharist his precious body and his precious blood. And I receive, pray God, right before I die, the anointing upon my head and my hands again. That man is Jesus. That man is me. And that man is my neighbor. And what I see in this is how I am called to be Jesus to others, to my neighbor, to be Jesus. If you were, I want you to think of this. If you were able to see the 100% truth of who someone is, you were given this magical vision or these glasses you could put on, and you could look upon someone, your spouse, your kids, your neighbor who lives next to you, anybody you encounter, and you could see in an instant the 100% truth of every thought within their mind, everything that's going on in their heart, every action that they've ever done and ever will do, every thought they have about you. If you could see that, would you love that person more or less? Be truthful with me. Would you love them more or less? It depends. Whose eyes are you looking with? If you're looking with your own eyes, we know the truth of this. You can start with something as simple as two really good friends go off to college and they're going to be roommates together, and all of a sudden, wow, they find out more the truth of one another and they hate each other by the end of the semester. Amazing how that happens. Doesn't always, but you see it. Your spouse, those of you who are married or widows, you marry someone. You think you know them. You say, I do to them. You don't have a clue yet, truly, who they are. No matter how many times you've talked till 4 a.m. and told them every little secret of yours and all that, you don't know the truth of them. That comes out in time, though. And there's going to be a response to that. One of the graces, and it can be a curse, is, you know, a priest doesn't have a family of their own, but they're part of hundreds of other families. I see the truth behind the facades that families like to put up, how perfect and happy they are. You know, a priest, they get a glimpse in a lot of different areas of the truth of what's really going on there. If I'm seeing, or anyone is seeing just with their human eyes, I'm a priest and I'm looking, I become cynical, dismissive, this person will never get it. Good Lord. I mean, but if I'm seeing with the eyes of Jesus Christ, through his grace that I continually need to be him, that grace I received in baptism when I was united to him, and I see with the eyes of Jesus Christ, it does something different, because there's this truth that the more truth that I see, the more mercy it calls forth from me. Because the more truth I see in another person or in the world, the more I desire justice, but human justice, justice alone on a human level, justice, what God speaks about, is he restores right order and harmony. And this is the justice of Jesus Christ, of what he did. And he did this through mercy, his mercy, a love that is not deserved or earned. And so the more truth that I see, the more mercy that it calls forth from me. And that when I begin to see the truth in another person more and more, that it calls forth something deeper, actually something higher, a higher love, something that's a strength way beyond my own. That faith sees more, and faith also demands more of us. It demands that you love not just with that weak reservoir of love that we have, but with the reservoir of love that Jesus Christ pours into our hearts. This is the great dignity that is ours, everyone. It's the great dignity that is ours in Jesus Christ having chosen us to be his own and to belong to him and to be his very presence in this world. To see all and all things with the eyes of Jesus Christ. To heal and to care with the hands of Jesus Christ. And to love with with the very heart of Jesus Christ, to be his presence in this world so that we are able to be present in, with, and through him in eternity. Amen.